Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
We had an instant classic a little bit earlier in the NBA, and really it became the Anthony Davis show.
Laker lead is two. It's nervous times. AD, the three. Yes! Anthony Davis delivers. Down goes LeBron. Butler to tie. Lakers win it. Lakers win it. And they hand Miami their first defeat on their home.
Billy Mack and Stu, Lakers television on the call, 23-3 now. That is the first loss on the home court for the Miami Heat. And this was a fun game to watch. I mean, every sequence contested. You got bodies flying on the floor all over. This was played as though this was seeding determination in late April.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, as we're getting ready to the playoffs and just all the way down to the stretch, you still got bodies flying.
I don't want to make up stuff for drama purposes, but it could be a preview of the NBA Finals. I mean, you really don't know. You don't know what's going to happen towards the end of the year, but the Miami Heat right now, you just mentioned how good they are at home. They're sitting in the two spot in the Eastern Conference, and I know Milwaukee's on their win streak right now, but there's still going to be questions about them when it comes to playoff time. Tonight could have been an opportunity, and what was so surprising to me about it, Mike, was it was the Lakers-Heat. Like, we weren't saying LeBron against Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis against Jimmy Butler. Like,
nope.
We were talking actually about the teams and so much of what has happened throughout, you know, previous seasons. It's been matches of players versus player, player returning to this place. It was Lakers versus Heat. And I know that the Lakers have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but the Heat with the pieces that they've put together, with none being a great rookie, with Tyler Hero coming in, like there's just a lot there for Miami of piecing stuff together. And I know that none, I think he's about a year removed, but the point being of when you've got guys like Bam Adebayo coming in and growing in his second year, and then you add a Jimmy Butler and you have pieces, yeah, it works. I mean, it's kind of a neat compilation of the Miami Heat team, and they are a threat in the East.
I'll tell you what, every time I show my age doing it, but Bam Adebayo, I just keep singing Creedence Clearwater Revival. Bam Adebayo. I might get sued for it, but whatever.
That's pretty good, actually.
5 out of 11. I mean, it's not quite Chris Berman-esque, but it's going down those lines. He had 12 points, and at times he was frustrating the hell out of the Lakers' bigs because he was getting active on the defensive end and certainly offensively, going after every loose ball, finishes with 12 points, 8 rebounds on the night for LeBron, a much cleaner second half. And that was one of the things the Lakers, as you went into halftime, you've got a game that was close, right? It's a 59-51 game, but you've got a lot of turnovers. LeBron was heading for one of those, you know, quadruple doubles that nobody wants to talk about because he had 7 turnovers at the half and then committed his 8th very quickly in the third quarter. And then it cleaned up from there. And you saw Anthony Davis on the defensive end sweeping away rebound and loose ball after loose ball and coming up with big shots down the stretch.
And Mike, I'm not a Lakers guy, but I found it ridiculous of the whole entire argument of who have the Lakers played for to be so good. I mean, we're a third of this way through the season, and you're arguing about who they put. Conversation had never come up in any previous argument that I have seen in NBA history about a team when we're talking about strength of schedule. Here's a news flash: for the last 10 years, half the NBA has stunk. Okay, so the fact of the matter is, well, they only played this team. Everybody else playing the same team. It's not like the Lakers went out and said, you know, let's do a home and home with the Phoenix Suns, you know, or let's do a home and home with the, like, that's not happening. The Lakers are treated unfairly with people of trying to point out of, well, who they've played. It's never, ever been judged before in NBA history, and it's only been happening because of LeBron and AD.
Well, but that's it. You open yourself up to the speculation and people try to look ahead, right? It's the game we've been playing I know the big hot thing on Doug's show was Lamar Jackson and long term. It's like, well, to me, it's I'm worried about 2019. If 5 years from now he's broken down, I don't whatever, and Sam Darnold or whoever the insert quarterback of the argument is still up and playing, so be it. Right? We're talking about 2019, and I know it's good fodder, but folks get all excited. Likewise, they're projecting towards the playoffs. We don't know what these teams are going to look like. I mean, Andre Iguodala might walk through that door tomorrow.
Sure.
I mean, there
sure.
might be a jersey hanging for him tomorrow. I mean, we're going to talk over the course of the night of the NFL. You had a couple of guys released today that are going to be Christmas presents for somebody's defense as an added defensive back or pass rusher. That's just the way it works. And likewise, in the NBA, when you talk about how long this season is, you take care of business tonight. And you roll through. And look, they passed part one of the test by going down to South Beach and beating a team that plays very well at home and not having the normal South Beach, we just don't want to play. December 13th.
South Beach Blue.
But December 13th, both teams came to play, and we got a classic on a random Friday night in early December where normally, hey, the season doesn't start till Christmas. No, you got two teams that clearly wanted to just beat each other down and fought tooth and nail to the final buzzer.
Yeah, it meant a lot to the Miami Heat for a lot of the guys on that roster that have never won a big game in their career. I mean, you got a bunch of guys who are first-year guys, second-year guys, guys who are 20 games into their NBA career that this would have been a big deal to go along with the sprinkling of veterans that you have with the Miami Heat team. And they played like it. And it's not far-fetched to see how things play out in the East if Miami is there in the Eastern Conference semifinals and Eastern Conference finals and maybe even the NBA finals. But the Lakers tonight getting another big road with Anthony Davis hitting a big shot. I still want to say that we weren't going gaga over teams in December like we seem to be over the Lakers, but I can't hold against the schedule sort of thing because we've never done that before. Win tonight.
Well, I think the going gaga in December is this team was supposed to take a long time to gel, right? That was a narrative coming in because of all the new component parts. Never mind that most of the guys are veterans, so it's just come in, do your job. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, too soon to bring that up. But just the idea that you're going to acquiesce to whatever LeBron and AD want. And that they've bought into what Frank Vogel's selling defensively. Yeah. Whether long-term, those minutes, you know, how you manage that as the season goes on. But for now, you got a team that's gelled already. So I think people are frustrated a little bit because they were hoping for a little more angst, especially after an opening night loss to the Clippers.
Yeah,
right? I think that's part of the narrative as well.
Yeah, I think that you're spot on. I think that the hope and the angst is that these guys wear themselves out playing defense. Because health is going to be an issue. It really is the only issue that could really derail what they have going. And it is a legitimate issue. And when you're playing so well, and there will be load management, rest issues coming up, but you do have to figure out if you're the Lakers, how do you manage all that? And you know what? Right now, you do have a little bit of a cushion atop the Western Conference to play with that at least a third of the way through the season.
Yeah, because I think there's also something from the anti-LeBron narrative. I mean, I didn't like the fact that he seemingly took last year off. I don't know that there's any other way to put it. You can yell at me about his statistics all you want, just defensively lackluster. And he knew he didn't have a team that was going to win. So we get that. And he Thanosed half those guys away as fast as he could. But, you know, so there's the anti-LeBron part of whether it's people wanting to preserve what Jordan was or whatever. But the other was you were hoping that there'd be a little bit of chaos in the NBA where there wasn't an obvious front runner, that maybe we'd have a little bit more uncertainty. And yet again, we're still in the, all right, the winner is coming from one of these four teams unless something really crazy happens.
Different year, different team, same NBA. I mean, somebody's going to come out of the East and you got two teams really battling it, you believe, in the Western Conference. The LeBron thing, your note about LeBron and of him shutting it down and having the knee injury mid-season last year and then at the end just kind of waving the white flag. When he said a couple of weeks ago that he had this is the best that he had ever felt, that's what happens when you don't play in June and May and you have all of April off. Like this is That, I think, really, really helped them. Really, really helped them.
Anthony Davis is going to solve a lot of problems for you.
Yeah, that helps
that's going to help compared to the roster they're running with. And to your point, you know, we were talking about the schedules and how things go away. The NBA really doesn't. It's a very short run between NBA finals and getting back into it for preseason. So having those 6 months off is huge.
Yeah.
And we're just 2 months or 2 weeks away from your big kickoff where the NBA is on everybody's mind as we get to Christmas Day.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The gift that keeps giving is Jerry Jones, week in, week out. We know Jason Garrett is, barring some Festivus miracle, done. But now it becomes the question of who's next. Is it someone from the NFL coaching ranks? Is it a, let's see if the wheel spins and somebody fired finds himself in, right? Ron Rivera's already out there. He's floating, waiting for the next opportunity. Who else is waiting on the, as I like to use, the sword of Damocles? We've been listening to the Beetlejuice soundtrack a bunch, and they use that early on, and I like its use. So we'll take that, and we'll make that part of the mix as well. But for Jerry Jones, now the decision point starts to flow of, well, where do you find that next coach? And it's delicious theater as we get into Sunday's game because they've got a huge matchup against the Rams, a team also trying to find its way into the playoffs. We'll talk about Todd Gurley and how great a soundbite he's become the last couple of weeks
sure.
A little later on in the show. But to make his point, we'll hear from him later. But look, no matter what, the Cowboys are still going to the playoffs because the Eagles can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, it is going to come down to next week. I mean, it's going to come down to their week 16 matchup when they end up playing each other, and that's what it's going to be. So you can have what you have this week, but if Dallas is able to, and you know what, I shouldn't put a Redskins game past the Cowboys at the end of the year, but I am giving them the benefit of the doubt of winning that game. But the whole thought of, first of all, of the Cowboys need to make it so far for Jason Garrett to end up making it to the NFC Championship game if he wants to keep his job. It's so ridiculous, Mike, to sit there and put these parameters within the season, because either you know Jason Garrett's your guy or Jason Garrett isn't your guy. But I do think this, that for Jerry Jones, I don't think it's beneficial for him to be narrow-minded in his search, because that is what's gotten them in this situation right now, I believe, is Jerry not being open to ideas. It would be a very Cowboys thing to do. It would be a very Jerry Jones thing to do. But for the sake of the organization, I don't think you could be narrow-minded when it comes to, and I'm just even saying, Mike, of Jerry Jones has a guy that he wants to be the successor. Like that doesn't work, I think, for the Dallas Cowboys right now.
And what last time you were in the studio with me towards the end of the night, I brought up my theory that, hey, Troy Aikman would be the guy, right? Because Jerry keeps parroting all of his talking points off Fox broadcasts. Aikman earlier this week said, look, that's part of my aspirations, and I think that's something I want to do, but maybe not the Cowboys. You never rule it out categorically, but as you look at and read the tea leaves,
yeah.
To me it was a fit just in terms of this guy got you your rings. This guy seems to be someone whose opinion you value, so why not marry that and push forward in terms of running your team and then choosing your next coach?
One of my favorite memories in Cowboys history was Jerry Jones stealing the Lombardi Trophy from Barry Switzer.
Yes.
When they won Super Bowl 30 against the Steelers, and Barry Switzer tried to say, "We did it, baby, we did it." And like Jerry's like, "Give me that trophy back." And that's how it's viewed. And your point of what Troy Aikman said as much. Jerry's it's Jerry's world. You know, we talk about Jerry's world, the stadium, but everything is Jerry's world. And so if you do want to move on from Jason Garrett, if you don't have an interest in Lincoln Riley or Matt Rhule or whoever the case may be, you still need to talk to a bunch of different people, I believe, because it's not a situation where you can have one guy targeted of being the replacement, because you have to talk to everybody, because somebody may bring something to the table that you never would have expected.
Cast a wider net, at least get some other ideas, have your list of questions. You never know what kind of presentation you're going to get, what kind of answer you're going to get. Maybe there's something just way off the grid that's going to help you. So as you mentioned, right, in terms of that narrowing of focus, he was doing his normal 105.3 The Fan, as he does each and every week, having some fun with it. And he was praising the college coaches, right, the usual suspects that of names that start flowing in, but started talking, well, maybe that's not quite the place to go.
College coaches have the lowest percentage rate of success, as opposed to coming from coordinators, opposed to coming from the NFL, or supposed to coming from a head coaching job in the NFL. They have to get acquainted with personnel. Now, that's a big deal. So you pay a price for somebody to get up to date. And so getting up to snuff. So getting up to snuff, I'm reminded that we won one football game the first year that we brought Jimmy in.
KTCK, The Ticket, is where you find that audio, thanks courtesy of them. But yeah, mentioning Jimmy Johnson, yes, and then you drafted really well a couple of years, and all of a sudden you were a juggernaut.
Yeah, that was 30 years ago. It was more than 30 years ago when you're trying to figure out of how to build your team. I think it was 30 years ago.
That's the data point you're running to. You're running all the way back to 1989.
So you're competing, Jerry. I take experience for what it is, but the NFL is not the same as it was 30 years ago. But for some reason, Jerry Jones is still hanging his hat on that 1-15 season that they had to start the year, where Troy Aikman got
well. That was
bludgeoned.
His rookie year. Absolutely, he was absolutely pummeled from pillar to post, and that was 1989. I remember the score rookie card.
And listen, there's not another Herschel Walker trade that you can do. That's not going to, it's a different NFL. So to go back and say 30 years ago this didn't work, I think is a huge exposure on what is wrong. Another thing that is wrong with Jerry Jones of going back to a data point from the 1980s to determine who is going to be your next head coach. It's crazy. And by the way, Mike, that worked out pretty well when they took a coach from college and brought him
in. Seems like it did all right, right? Going back 30 years ago, you talk about the game changing, talk about the college schemes now becoming more readily adjusted to the NFL, the quarterbacks, the way you go through 7-on-7 football, the way you're coached up through high school and college and tutors and everything else. It's just different. You're not a statue anymore. At least most guys aren't. And the concepts, I mean, we're watching it work in these different facets, different coaches raising their game to the NFL. And with some success, say, you know, if you want to point out Cliff Kingsbury, it's like, well, they've got a bad roster. They've got a terrible defense. Mm-hmm. So pointing to him, as many have tried to do in all of these discussions, like, it takes time. You still have to get your pieces in place. For the Cowboys, they've got a strong roster, at least on paper.
Sure.
And it's just the devil is in the details that's taking them down on a weekly basis.
Jerry's issue is this, is that he feels that this Cowboys team has the pieces. So you maybe don't want to trust the Ferrari in the hands of someone who just got their driver's license. But that's not who these guys are. These guys have been driving for a while. And when you make that transition, that's what is so different about a Lincoln Riley or a Matt Rhule, who, by the way, was targeted as an NFL coach, I think, when he was at Temple.
Right.
So there was mm-hmm. success at Temple that said, wow, this is the guy that really could be the next guy in the National Football League. And the other factor of it, Mike, is for as much as there was the search for the next Sean McVay this past offseason, what have we seen recently from new head coaches? Well, Zach Taylor's won one game, and he was supposed to be one of the Sean McVay guys mm-hmm. coming along. Pat Shurmur was a head coach and failed in Cleveland, resurrected his career as an offensive coordinator with the Vikings, and then now guess what? Failing with the New York Giants. Take a look at Brian Flores, comes over running New England's defense, first time as a head coach. They've got 3 wins under their belt. A defensive set. The point is there's failure at every single spot when you look at new head coaches in the National Football League, whether it be a year in or 2 in. So to just completely wipe off a side of the table that you don't want to look at because you don't think it's ready for your winning football team. I think Barry Switzer may be the only guy who took a ready set football team from college and ended up taking them you know, and having success in the National Football League. You don't see it a lot because you're also not firing a guy after you win a division in the National Football League.
He also didn't get any credit for any winning he did do with the Cowboys, right?
Sure.
I mean, it was always I could have played anybody else. He could have gotten one of the, you know, his dad had the zoo. He could have gotten one of the monkeys was one of the jokes that was made along the way, that it didn't matter who was running things, that the team was good enough that they were going to run roughshod ever everybody and anything that got in their way. So certainly there, and to the point, as we've tried to pinpoint problems, right? And is Dak the $35 million a year guy? What's wrong with the defense? Because they've been relatively healthy, except for Leighton Van Der Esch, right? Otherwise, you've seen guys, you know, everybody's got their bumps and bruises, but for the most part, you're not missing big chunks of game there. So it falls back on Jason Garrett, and that's fine. It's been a decade, so if he's A to B guy, you're trying to find B to C, and that's fine. But it still exposes in this particular instance that Jerry Jones still living in the past and really highlights with a big blinking red light where your true problems are, regardless of what else is going on in that locker room.
Oh, my goodness.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
A guy that needs a hug, maybe a little bit of help along the way, as he's back on social media in a big way, is Antonio Brown. We call him former NFL receiver because right now he's in no man's land. No more Oakland Raiders, no more New England Patriots, and really just the back and forth on Twitter alarming at times. And I had many people last night start, he's up at it again, some in terms of who he will or will not be dating in the future. Romantic
Sorry,
choices.
White women.
Yeah, white women are out for 2020. That was one of the lines. And then a back and forth started flowing out of that.
By the way.
Yeah, go
by
ahead.
By the way,
Dan,
of everything that he tweeted yesterday when you guys were doing the show, the No More White Woman 2020 tweet received almost 27,000 retweets and almost 90,000 likes. All of the other tweets, the closest one was about 1,500 retweets.
Hey, where are the white women at?
They're not with Antonio Brown come the new year. I can tell you that. 27,000 retweets just for that tweet. That's amazing.
Wow, that shows you where social media will take something.
Right?
And then you always want to go and, if you had the time, do the research of what blog picked that up, where it found legs, right, to run off of his account. But certainly a lot of it then becoming about his exile, as he calls it, from the National Football League and bringing up different cases of players, and Ben Roethlisberger's cases come back up. Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for those cases in Ohio. You might argue not long enough or whatever else came out of that, but he did pay a price. Some of the other cases, and we've, one of the criticisms of the NFL and where Roger Goodell has gotten kind of quiet on a lot of stuff, is that it was haphazard, or at least seemed to be, when you try to institute a personal conduct policy, because no two cases are ever going to be the same, right? In data, in end, no matter what term you put on the end game of it, there's still a lot of the details that are going to be different. And now he took to back to instant into his social media again earlier today. Last week, I wrote a post opening up telling people how I was feeling at the time. Man, what a difference a week makes. I worked my entire life to earn the right to play in the National Football League. This is like a 5-minute monologue standing in front of the stage.
Do you have enough time before
as if he's part of Shakespeare soliloquy. But I'm hurt. I'm disappointed. I'm angry all the time. I feel abandoned by people that I trusted. They turned their backs on me. I'm not begging for nothing, and I'm not going to let people treat me any kind of way. I earned the right to play in the NFL. So why was it taken away? It's been over 3 months, and I haven't heard from anyone. Okay, so that contradicts some of the data that's been out there in terms of being summoned to the league office, being able to come in and give his side. You could argue that they've dragged their feet, maybe in terms of an investigation, but we don't know what the wheels are behind the scenes that are turning.
There was a report that he met with the NFL and was just completely uncooperative.
Right.
You know, and meeting with the league and just didn't want to give them any information and was impossible to deal with, which I'm sure all the other 32 teams that could maybe need his services in the National Football League would also see.
And he countersued one of the accusers in the process as well, still calling it a shakedown and a money grab. So you have that. And so you've got these cases still hanging out. And the question for, I think, a number of teams, maybe the Patriots just categorically said, we're not going back down that road. But with that hanging over him, with no investigation complete, signing him could put him immediately on the exempt list. And
correct,
you have no assurances one way or another whether he'd be eligible to play the Sunday after you signed him.
And even if Kareem Hunt had an 8-game ban and it was going to be suspended by the National Football League, there was going to be a penalty, and he still was welcomed by the Cleveland Browns because Kareem Hunt was a young football player at a position with not a lot of miles on his career as of yet, did pay a penalty, did seem contrite in apologizing as the story unfolded. I know it wasn't immediate, but for what ended up playing out, the point being is that the Browns felt that there was enough there where they could move and bring him in, knowing that he was going to miss games. Yeah, Antonio Brown may miss games. He may miss one, he may miss two, he may miss eight. But it didn't stop the Browns from signing Kareem Hunt. So, or for bringing in Kareem Hunt, why is anybody going to bring in an Antonio Brown when he's doing this stuff on Twitter? And like, you would even know, Mike, that he's going to miss games, just like the Browns knew that Kareem Hunt was going to miss games. And they still no team wants to touch him because of all these actions.
But at least with Kareem Hunt, there was the, all right, we know what the penalty is going to come. And then finally it came down as an 8-game, and you plan your season. With this, you've already walked out of two spots, right? You lost you wanted out of the Oakland. And then the Patriots, seemingly you got along great with Tom Brady, but there's just too much swirling on, right? Adding more cases and accusations to the mix, they decided they were out. And now you do all this. Who's trusting that you're going to be a good fit for a locker room?
Yeah, right? No one. No one. And it's everything that happened in Oakland, and it's all of this stuff that's going on. I actually think that, I mean, you know, he scored a touchdown the one game he played
that's
this
right.
year. You know, so like there's talent there, but not enough for these teams to want to deal with that.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the end game here is immense talent, but the headaches that come along with it and all these unresolved issues. And at this point in the season, why would you sign on? All right, whether you're a contender, like he's going to fit into your locker room how? And if you're a bottom feeder, you already have locker room issues before you get to this, right?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.